Steve, Sherlock Winola, Franklin Matters radio show number 271 in the series. Town of Franklin Health Director Kathleen Liberty took some time from her schedule to sit and talk about something other than the coronavirus, COVID-19. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. While we're out and about on the trail and in the outdoors, in general, during this pandemic period, Kathleen informs us of some precautions to take with regards to avoiding ticks and mosquitoes. The new term from this conversation is questing. Questing is the term you'll hear that's for the tick looking to jump to a new food source, us in particular. We review the precautions that should be part of the daily hygiene when we head outdoors and make it as frequent a part of our routine as adding sunscreen lotion, washing hands frequently. The recording runs about 22 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Kathleen. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, with Kathleen Liberty, the health director for the town of Franklin. Kathleen, happy Monday.
Hello. Happy Monday, Steve.
So we're starting the week, and I think you wanted to spend some time not talking about coronavirus.
Exactly.
Not that we couldn't. We could.
We could.
While people are getting out into some woods and trails, there's other things that we do need to be aware of, not coronavirus related, as long as you've got your mask and gloves and wash your hands and all that kind of good stuff.
Right. Right. So that was one of my concerns and the reason why I wanted to talk about two topics today, preventing tick bites and preventing mosquito bites. With everyone being out and about and on rail trails and trails throughout the woods, I thought that we would talk about tick bites and how to prevent them and the importance of preventing tick bites.
Yeah, a timely topic. Absolutely. I've seen, without getting into names, I've seen at least some folks on Facebook acknowledge that they had to remove a tick from their child or what a family member as they've come back from walking. So it is happening, and it's something that we can help them prepare. That'll be good.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing we have to remember is that the exposure can occur year-round, but the ticks are more active during the warmer months, and that's April through September. So here we are in May.
And it feels like March, but it will get warmer.
It feels like March, right? I just wanted to bring this to everyone's attention because we seem to be very focused, and we should be, on the coronavirus. But tick bites and mosquito bites can also have a very negative effect on a human as well. So I can just move on to what people should do before they go outdoors.
Sure.
I think since we were children, we know that ticks live in tall grass, wooded areas, and they can also be on animals. When we're spending time outside and we're walking our dog, we're camping, gardening, or hunting, it is hunting season, I believe, that's when we're in most close contact with ticks. And we can even get them in our backyard. So it's not like we have to be in a wooded area. And I actually learned something new about ticks. There's a term called questing. I'm not sure if you ever heard of that. Have you ever heard of the term questing?
Questing? I've heard of quest in terms of, going on a quest. But
right. Well, ticks actually, they hold on to a leaf with their back two legs. And the front two legs are available or are in position to jump on what they would consider food, which would be a human or an animal or a dog, a cat. So I never knew just exactly how they got on us. So I thought that was interesting. It was a new learning curve about ticks.
There's always something new every day you can learn. Absolutely. So you're on a trail, you're walking along, there's some bushes, and on a bush, perhaps there's a leaf, and at the edge of the leaf, there's the tick hanging on with his two back legs, but his two front legs are just kind of ready to jump. And when he identifies, food.
Right. Food.
Meaning us, of course.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to just talk about how to prevent ticks from using us as food. And so we know that there are some non-toxic to moderately toxic insect pesticides that we can use to treat our clothing, but treat our shoes, our clothing, our camping gear. We also know that the EPA has registered insect repellent. There is actually some organic, such as oil of lemon, eucalyptus, and all of these products, they can be used on children. Some products can be used on children, some can't. So we definitely have to be careful of which toxic insect repellent or just basically avoid any wooded, brushy, brushy areas with high grass and leaf litter and walk in the center of trails. If we're not, if we frown upon using some type of repellent.
Well, and I know having walked on a number of trails, and especially even as a kid or with young kids, walking down the center of the trail is not necessarily the fun place to be. You want to be kind of like hanging down the grass or, touching whatever's on the side. You're exploring. So that's exactly. Not exactly the best thing to do unless you're protected, to your point.
Right. And even though we're, we do our best to avoid, and we will, do our best to use a repellent, that still doesn't mean that we don't thoroughly check ourselves when we come home from being outdoors. So because ticks can be carried on, into the house on clothing, and any ticks that are found should be removed. We can also tumble dry our clothes in the dryer under high heat for 10 minutes to kill ticks.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of interesting. And then we have to examine our gear and our pets, right? Because ticks can ride into the home on clothing and pets and attach to a person later. So you want to carefully examine pets' coats and day packs mm-hmm. or backpacks.
Yeah, it's interesting. As a longtime runner, although I'm resorting to walking these days, especially in the cold mornings and the deep New England winters, it was a good idea to, kind of get out of the warm bed, put my running stuff into the dryer for a few minutes to warm it up, then put it on and then go out. So at least you were warm going out. That was a good idea for winter. Now we want to use, the dryer with some heat for at least 10 minutes to take away the ticks when you come back.
Yeah, we do. And, as everyone knows, we have to do a full body check when we return home. In certain areas of the body, in children's body, we want to check under the arms, in and around the ears, back of the knees, in and around the hair, around the waist, basically, head to toe check. Because when they first attach, they're tiny and hard to see. It's usually after they've been on the body for a bit and they've been feeding is when we start to feel, something larger. And we don't want to go that long with a tick attached to the body.
Right. Yeah. The sooner the removal, the better. But yeah, I do recall many times having to check specifically around the bands and the joints, if you will, where the cloth ends and the skin starts, whatever's exposed. Those are kind of the key pots where, as he's waiting, he or she, whichever, if they have a sex, I'm assuming they do, are waiting on that leaf and then jump to find us. They're going to crawl into, some nice, warm, real good spot inside, but they may not get there just yet.
Right. They're hitchhikers.
Hitchhikers, definitely. Unapproved hitchhikers.
One thing we have to remember, though, is they do carry diseases. And one of the most common is Lyme disease. We usually associate Lyme disease with a bullseye rash, but you don't necessarily have to get that type of bullseye looking rash with Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. It can be any, I actually had a bullseye about 20 years ago, maybe a little longer. And it was noticeable, and it definitely looked like a bullseye. But as I later learned, any type of rash can be associated with a tick bite or swelling as well. And that can appear anytime up to 30 days after you've been bitten by a tick. It's usually, you know, there's an onset of fever, that, like I said, that particular rash, it's usually a circular rash. And that actually occurs in approximately 70-80% of infected people, and basically begins at the site of the tick bite, which is good because if you know you've had a tick on you, it's been removed, then you can monitor that area. Mm-hmm. It's when you don't know and you can't see it that you can start to run into problems.
Right. The circular spot or the lump or the redness, or whatever it is, clearly those are indications of the body self-defense is actually coming to action.
Right.
And that's right. Where we want to assist that with removal for one, and then whatever other appropriate medication as required.
Right. And you know, just on a personal note, a loved one of mine was in a lot of physical pain and had a bite on her wrist. It was about the size of a baseball. She went to the doctor and the doctor said, "I understand you have a bite." And, you know, she said, "Forget about the bite. I'm in pain." And sure enough, it was a tick bite, but it had just swelled up, no rash. So it can also present itself in other ways.
Yeah. There's a spectrum of range of appearances, and depending upon the individual, some will be more so than others. And it has to be this way.
Correct. No, correct. And then, you know, this is the time of year too, where we have a lot of standing water around our homes, left over from the winter. Some people who have pools and the covers are sunken in and have water on top, you know, buckets or anything like that. And that can attract mosquitoes to lay their eggs. So I'm moving now into another insect that also can cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could just remind everybody that we don't want any standing water on our property at all, because that will attract the mosquitoes to lay their eggs. And then you're going to have, we're going to have more mosquitoes than we want.
Right. That's the key deterrent. Standing pools of water, remove them. And Norfolk County Mosquito Control District, folks should be aware, just sprayed the normal spring spraying. It was a couple of days over the first week of May. They did their aerial spraying over the big lodge bodies, so Delcart and other places, where there is, you know, lots of water. They wouldn't have necessarily covered every individual's, you know, little pool, to your point. So that's where we have to go to that level and remove the water. Or if you got a tire and the water's inside the tire, mm-hmm. just standing there.
Yeah.
Those are breeding grounds.
And if there is a larger area that may be more like, not conservation, but more, a wet area, we can always call and have them, you know, specifically spray in certain areas that the aerial spray wouldn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So,
yep.
You know, residents are reminded to do that because you don't want to take any chances.
Yeah, and I think based on last year, and hopefully it won't be as like this year, but last year people may remember there was a lot of Triple E, and there were additional spraying efforts because of the prevalence of the Triple E last year. So with a little bit of luck, maybe we won't get into that as bad this year, but who knows?
Hopefully not. Who knows? But those are the other reasons that we don't want to, you know, that we want to be proactive. The spraying for the Triple E, those particular species of mosquitoes, they are more active in the evening at dusk time. And the spraying was, you know, to just get that, you know, particular species of mosquito when they sprayed at that point. So that's not for all mosquitoes, if that makes sense, because
mm-hmm.
There's many, many different species of mosquitoes that we have to deal with. But nevertheless, we still have to protect ourselves and our family from mosquito bites. And like I said about the tick bites, I mean, ticks, there's insect repellent that you can find, you know, certain types that you prefer, and that would be at the EPA website. You can, you know, look at all the insect repellents that are proven to be safe and effective, even for pregnant women. So we want to, you know, still be diligent about what we use on our bodies and on our clothing. So to find the right insect repellent for you, make sure you check the EPA's website. Other ways to be proactive and prevent mosquitoes from biting would be to dress in clothing that covers our arms and our legs. Mothers or fathers who have, you know, babies in their strollers, you know, make sure those are covered with mosquito netting. You know, just make sure that that we all treat our clothing and gear with whatever insect repellent that we have. And make sure, you know, just to come in at dusk. You know, I mean, it's beautiful evenings in the summertime. We all love to stay out, but, you know, when the mosquitoes start to be active, that's when we need to come into our home. And more than that, when we come into our home, we have to make sure that our windows on, you know, the screens are intact and there's no holes and things like that, that mosquitoes can enter our home. So, those are some of the proactive ways that we can keep from mosquitoes from biting ourselves and our families.
Health is important, and we don't want to have a mosquito or a tick, never mind something else, disrupt our desires and way of being.
Well, and don't forget mosquitoes, you know, they carry diseases as well. And like you mentioned earlier, we had to deal with that last year with the Triple E.
Right.
And, you know, Triple E is, can be very dangerous. The fatality rate is 40%. And, if you do recover, you recover with most likely neurological problems. So, you know, it's not just important. It's something that we have to be really diligent about to protect ourselves and our children and our animals. So, you know, obviously animals are susceptible to the Triple E as well. And don't forget about West Nile virus.
Right.
So we still see that occur. And so those are some of the things that we want to prevent from getting those type of diseases.
Yeah, and those are the ones that at least come from or are carried to us via the mosquitoes and ticks for the other ones we mentioned earlier, as opposed to the current coronavirus, which has been certainly heavily talked of, that just gets spread via the air droplets.
Correct.
You know, particles almost unseen, except for in those winter days when, you know, you breathe outside, you can see your exhaust, so you can see your air, you know it's there.
Right. It's true. It's invisible. You know, the transmission is virtually invisible with coronavirus.
So I should have known to check beforehand, but on the health department page, do you have kind of tips and tricks on kind of the mosquito check sheet or tick check sheet that we can share as links, or just refer to the Department of Health and CDC and other places for those?
I believe so. I would, and if I don't, I will post it and send you the link. But I'm pretty sure it's a standard resource that the health department has on their website from the CDC, you know, regarding preventing tick and mosquito bites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the residents. Yeah.
We can include that link in the show notes so that people can get encouraged to go check it out and take those preventative measures via the appropriate sprays beforehand and then the appropriate cleaning actions after.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like to, you know, recommend certain repellents, you know, because some are toxic and some are not. And I think it's up to the individual to decide how to be proactive and what's going to keep themselves and their family safe as far as repellents go as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to look at the EPA website regarding those type of repellents, because I just, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying you have to use DEET or you have to use, you know, oil, eucalyptus oil or oil of whatever it was, lemon eucalyptus oil. It's definitely an individual preference.
Well, thank you for spending some time on this.
Absolutely.
I think it'll help since we've been getting outdoors, particularly during this coronavirus pandemic period. We might don't want to add to it with something else coming along.
We do not. I mean, for sure, we're going to see Tripoli. That cycle lasts anywhere from 3 to 4 years. Of course, I could never say it's going to be worse or better. We will see it, and it is here, and it's a fight that we have to fight every spring and summer, and so it shouldn't be new news. It should just be a part of our daily, you know, lives now, and mosquitoes as well. We just don't know which mosquito is biting us and what type of disease it can transmit us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is definitely what we deal with every summer. And I believe it goes straight into fall with the Tripoli.
Right. And I think to the point you made in terms of adding these to our daily hygiene pieces akin to with the coronavirus, maybe not where maybe we won't be wearing masks forever, but certainly for now we will. But just a simple washing our hands on a more frequent basis. And then when we go out, to take these precautions so that we don't add the mosquito or the tick arena into our challenge of trying to balance what we got going on as well.
Yeah, it's just like putting sunscreen on every day. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time on this. Absolutely. And we'll include the notes in the links in the show notes so that people can get that. And next time, I'm sure we'll have some other topics in this health arena, because as we've discussed before, health is certainly important to all of us.
Absolutely.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.